Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
Now, first this afternoon, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says he wants to agree a position with the United States to stop Putin before holding any peace talks with Moscow. This comes after yesterday's phone call between US President Donald Trump and Russian President Vladimir Putin. President Zelensky and senior Ukrainian officials are undertaking a series of meetings this week with Trump allies in Kyiv and abroad. Well, for The View from Ukraine, we're joined now by Ukrainian MP Ines Ovsen, and from Moscow by Chris Weefer, who's Chief Executive of Macro Advisory. But first, we're going to hear from US Defence Secretary Pete Hegseth, who's been speaking in the last couple of minutes at the NATO summit in Brussels. And he was asked if he could guarantee that a deal would not be forced on Ukraine and that Europe would be involved in the negotiations.
President Trump, I want to point out, I've got the truths right here that he posted, called both, in case we missed it, Vladimir Putin and President Zelensky. Called them both. Any negotiation that's had will be had with both. I also am very encouraged by what the Secretary General has said here. Clearly attuned to the realities of the moment, the need for peace, and that the NATO alliance and European members will play a role in that. Ultimately, President Trump speaking to those two countries is central to the deal being made, but it affects a lot of people. Ultimately, as security assistance, we have continued to provide what has been allocated. I think it would be fair to say that things like future funding, either less or more, could be on the table in negotiations as well. Whatever the president determines is the most robust carrot or stick on either side to induce a durable peace.
Well, as I said, we're joined by Ines Ovsen, and Ines, I ask you first about what Pete Hegseth has to say there. What do you make of it?
Well, I think that was the reaction to the yesterday's announcement and the yesterday's debate when we have heard that President Trump did call President Putin first and then basically informed President Zelensky about that call. We, of course, over here were stunned with that development. It didn't seem like the behavior that you would expect from an ally. And there were lots of talks over here in Ukraine that we been missed out in those communications. So, we are seeing that the rhetoric has changed slightly, but the very main concern, which is, are we an equal part in those negotiations as the country that has suffered in that war, it still remains.
Because, of course, the principle for the last 3 years has been no talk about Ukraine without Ukraine.
Exactly.
And what has happened in the last 24 hours really turns that on its head.
Yeah, indeed. That very principle, we did have some disagreements with allies, but we very much appreciate that up until yesterday, no conversation about Ukraine's future were held without considering Ukraine's position first.
So President Zelensky has been trying, I suppose, to grapple back some of the power here in these talks, and he's now saying that he will not accept any sort of peace deal that is reached without Ukraine's involvement. Is that possible, though? I mean, Ukraine can say we won't accept a peace deal, but if the US and Russia decide, well, this is the deal, can Ukraine really do anything to stop it?
Well, of course, if the US decides that this is the final offer, and if we don't accept that, they suspend all military aid to Ukraine, then the truth of the matter is that as a country that depends on US military aid, on up to 70% of the aid we are getting comes from Ukraine, from US. We do produce some of it internally. We do get some of it in Europe, but truth be told, that would probably not be enough to sustain the warfare by ourselves. So I think I don't want to think about that scenario, truth be told, because it is too scary. Because giving us back to Russia, to Moscow, is something I would never imagine seeing in my lifetime. I was born in the Soviet times in 1984. I went to school in an independent Ukraine. I never would have imagined that we might reconsider that back and given back Ukraine to Russia's sphere of influence.
And is that how you feel today, that this is potentially the path that the country might be going down?
Well, I'm concerned that this might be the result of it. I do hope it will not happen. I do think that there are many politicians in the US who understand, after all, that if they give in to Putin, it will not be seen as US victory. It will be seen as Putin's victory. And that will undermine US influence globally. So I do hope that this we will not get to that. But I see that the risks are very high. And that is why we are very much alarmed right now.
Yeah, I know former National Security Advisor John Bolton, who we've spoken to plenty of times on this programme, he's been saying in the United States that Trump has effectively surrendered to Putin. But I don't know to what extent, as you say, the people of America will see it that way. Finally, what is the next step, or what should be the next step? What can be the next step, do you think, for Ukraine? Or what does Ukraine need perhaps from the EU now?
Well, the EU really needs to step in, right? Now, because if the deal that is being discussed now is really made and Ukraine's interests left unprotected, then it's up for Europe to decide whether they are willing to step in or to allow Putin to take over part of Ukraine and then see how far he will choose to go next. Because the next steps of Putin are going to take place in Europe. And I think Europe should be really aware of the risks they are facing.
Ukrainian MP Ines Sovsun, thank you very much for joining us on the programme this evening. And I'm going to turn to Chris Weaver now, who is the chief executive at Macro Advisory in Moscow. And Chris, you're welcome. Has President Putin already won the diplomatic victory, if I refer again to those remarks by John Bolton, that this is a surrender by President Trump to President Putin?
Well, first of all, we don't actually know what the terms of any deal or the outline of any deal discussed between Putin and Trump is. We know that the indications from the Russian side that they're happy with what they have heard from Trump, but we don't know the details yet. And of course, we do know, as your former speaker said, there's going to be a great deal of negotiations and discussions between senior US officials, including the Vice President Vance, in Europe in the next couple of days around the Munich Security Conference. So really only I would expect to only start hearing what the terms or the proposals for a peace deal are after this weekend, probably coming into next week. But it is fair to say that the comments and the mood coming out of the Kremlin is that they are pretty satisfied with the discussions yesterday, and they seem satisfied that they're going to get a substantial amount of what they've been looking for.
Of course, and then this invitation from Donald Trump saying that he hopes they will be visiting each other's nations very soon. It's a sea change, isn't it, really overnight for Vladimir Putin?
It is. And you know, obviously the sea change for the world, of course, is the arrival of Donald Trump back into the White House. We've seen, of course, his behavior and his position on many issues since January the 20th, and it will continue. So to some extent, I suppose they may be even similar characters. Donald Trump likes strong leaders. We see that with Netanyahu and with others. And if he can get away with pushing or even bullying, I think is the right word, other, say, weaker or quieter leaders, he will do so. So it's no surprise, therefore, that he's been able to engage at a personal level with Vladimir Putin because he views him, you know, as a strong leader. So, yes, they definitely... I wouldn't go so far as to say, you know, it was a close relationship, but they clearly got on very well for a 90-minute call. Next step, after this weekend's discussions, we are expecting confirmation that the two leaders will meet in the summit. At this stage, it looks more likely to take place in March and in Riyadh, in neutral territory. And then after that, we hope it will lead to, you know, a date for a ceasefire and then the start of a peace process, probably taking place in Riyadh as well. So it is moving a lot faster.
Yeah, ultimately, peace is what everybody wants. The question is the terms. But can I ask you finally, Chris, what's the reaction on the ground then in Moscow? Is there relief? Is there delight?
Yeah, no. Well, there's definitely relief because we have seen both in Kiev and Moscow. The opinion polls. Obviously, you've got to be careful which ones you look at, but The credible opinion polls in both countries have been showing a steady rise in the percentage of people in both countries that want an end to the war, that want peace. And it's more than 55% in both countries at this point. So people will certainly be relieved, but very much will depend on what the terms of the deal are. If it's the Kellogg terms, which essentially means Russia keeps the territory it's now in, and NATO gives security guarantees to the rest of Ukraine, I think that would be an acceptable deal to Moscow at this stage.
Chris Weaver, thank you very much for joining us this evening.